This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
Settling back in, ladies and gentlemen, here we are. Now, that means we're just about to get the show started. I'm at the home studio, London, Ontario. This guy here, Brock Richardson, at the home studio in Kitchener, Ontario.
We often talk about staples during the week for Kelly and Ramya, and here comes one now. It's time to do audio and tech with Mike Fair. Let's bring him on.
Audio entertainment and accessible technology are increasingly important in our lives. I'm Mike Fair, here to help you make the most out of your devices. We'll share tech tips and product reviews. Plus, I'll steer you towards the best accessible games, audio dramas, and podcasts. We'll talk about it all here on Kelly and Ramya.
Last week, we learned about the basics in regards to iCloud storage service. And this week, Mike Fair continues his look at important piece of iOS. Mike, nice to have you back on. As always, is there any way to control how much storage apps use when they're backing up their data to the iCloud?
Not really. iCloud, the backup system for iCloud was developed when the file options we have today weren't a thing in iOS. So everything had its place and apps just knew where their files were. So basically what we have are a series of all or nothing toggle switches. You can choose whether an app participates in the automatic backup or not. And that's basically it. So for the automatic system, you really have to just choose, okay, I want these apps to back themselves up and make you trim it down that way as best you can. Make sure that the apps you want are on, so they're participating, and any apps you don't need the data backed up is off, and so they're not wasting your space. So that is how you sort of manage your automatic backup. And then anything stored on the iCloud drive, that's a different story. There you have a little more play with basically what you can do.
Yeah. So at first, basically, you trim on the ground, save, launch up into the into the cloud. So what is the iCloud drive, Mike?
So basically, this is when Apple realized that people wanted to do more with their files and use different files, and import them and move them around, share them. They had to do something about that. And they built the iCloud drive onto the existing iCloud so that your extra storage space can be used as a kind of an online drive. So if you have 200 gigabytes of iCloud space and your backup is only taking 40 gigs, then you have the rest of that space to use as a kind of drive. It kind of works like an external drive on Windows. So you can copy, do things with files. You can store files on there. If you download stuff from the internet, buy books from different places, whatever, you can sort of store them there if they don't have a home already in another app. So it's very flexible what you can do with that space.
How easy is it to save documents to folders in the iCloud drive?
So basically, it's not automatic. You can absolutely do it, but you're going to have to use a couple of things. So in the apps, if you have an app that basically you can create any app that you can create documents, you can usually export or share from within that app, and you will be doing that. So you'd go to the share or export options in that app, and you'd save to files. So you'd flick through the options, flick right through all the options to get to save to files. You double tap that, and then you can pick where the file is saved. So you could make a folder for documents or whatever you wanted to call it, and then save everything into that file that you wanted backed up. And that way, you'd have a backup of these documents in case anything happened to your iPhone. You wouldn't have to restore completely to get at those documents. You could, have extra copies of them that weren't, in this massive backup that you had to restore completely to use.
Interesting, Mike. I think back to the early days and how you had less flexibility to do different things. I'm sure those who've been with Apple for a while understand what I'm talking about, and yourself. But can files in iCloud Drive be shared and copied?
Yes, you can do that. You can basically choose, you can create a file or folder, share the contents, share individual files or the whole thing. You can also choose you give people links. You can send links and messages or email messages to people, and then decide anyone who has that link can access the file, but you can decide whether they can delete it or modify it, or whether you just want them to be able to download it for themselves or view it. So that you've got a lot of control there. It's a bit of a learning curve, but nothing too traumatic. And you can absolutely share anything. I had my book posted in the iCloud. I was sharing it that way. And then I switched to Google Drive for my book content. But it's absolutely possible to do with iCloud.
You make it sound so easy, but how can we access our iCloud Drive?
So basically, to access the drive, you go into your Files app. And in that app, you can basically, it's like Windows Explorer. So you can, from within that app, you can get at all the different external sources, be they third-party, like Dropbox, third-party clouds, or the iCloud Drive itself, which is all your extra iCloud space, or on your iPhone. So you can download files to your iPhone or share them with apps in order to use them. So there's lots of options quite similar to how it works on a Windows drive. And you can basically move files between locations, including your iPhone, the iCloud drive, third-party drives, flash drives you connect to your iPhone, things like that. It's all very easy, much like you do on Windows.
Yeah, and again, so I go back to... Sorry, Mike, go ahead.
Triple tap with one finger on a file, or if you you can flick up or down with the rotor to get at all the options. So, and they'll be context specific based on the file that or folder that you're on and what you're doing, whether you're dragging, whether you're dropping in position, things like that will change the number of options available in the menu.
So when we look at it that way, Mike, giving us quite a bit of power, really, to do stuff that a while back we weren't sure about, wished we could do what we could do with Windows and stuff like that when it came to it.
Yes, yeah, it's very flexible now.
Yeah, and I love it. I love that because you needed to be, and I understand the care and the security that was given, but this is great. What options are available when accessing iCloud Drive?
So you can basically duplicate files. You can drag groups of files. You can move files into folders. You create folders. You get more info on files. You can do that. You can rename files. All of that kind of thing that you could have done on a Windows computer, you basically can do with this system using the triple tap with one finger or the rotor and just flicking your way through the options. And the files are in a tree structure. So you start with a location. So iCloud Drive is a location. And then within that, you can expand and collapse folders that you either create or are already made by different apps on that drive.
Can you use files directly from the iCloud, Mike?
Basically, you sort of have to have them on your iPhone to really interact with them fully. You can uncompress, like if you have a .zip file, you can decompress it directly on iCloud. It doesn't have to sort of get onto your phone first. But much beyond that, you basically will have to share the file with an app or download it to your iPhone to kind of use it more effectively. I haven't really had a ton of success kind of streaming, like playing a music file and streaming it. You have to sort of share it with an app first, and then it can sort of be used properly. So it's still meant to be sort of a backup of storage system rather than a streaming system.
Yeah. Do you think that's more of a discouragement, Mike, because they don't want it used that way, or protection?
I think it's speed.
Or restructuring altogether.
It's internet speed, right? I mean, you got to... things will just work faster when it's on your iPhone directly. Yep. So I think that's more what it is rather than Apple saying, we don't want you to do this.
Okay. And we see that in other applications, even like OneDrive and so on. What does the private relay option do?
Yeah, this is basically a way if you're sort of wanting to protect your data, it kind of acts like a VPN. So basically, it will hide your internet IP address so websites can't tell where you're coming from, and it'll encrypt your internet traffic. So basically that means websites you're using don't know who you are or where you are. And you'll have to verify if you're trying to get content, you'll have to verify that you're you, probably go through some extra steps. There'll be inconveniences if you do that. But if you need the extra security, it's there if you want it.
How does hide my email address option work?
Basically, what that does is it creates automatic sort of generated unique email addresses that will forward directly to your inbox so that if you're signing up for something, you could do that. You could, with this hide my email option on, it will create an email address or you can create them. And then you can just use them instead of your actual email address. And therefore, if a company refuses to let you unsubscribe and you get into a situation like that, you can just delete the email address because it's not your actual one and you'll stop right. getting those emails. So it's kind of a defensive thing for people.
Okay. Also, should most people use advanced data protection?
I would say no. This is an option that will encrypt the data coming to and from the cloud. You're already protecting a lot of stuff is automatically protected that way, and that's fine. That's like really sensitive stuff, passwords, things like that, health data, things like that. But this expands the range of what would be protected, and therefore, you could run into a situation where if you had to restore your notes or get at photos or something like that, and you'd forgotten, because if you use the service, you have to be able to verify it's you. Apple can't help you recover the data, so you have to have a recovery key. That is a 28-character string of random characters that you either have to have written down or memorized so you have handy if you ever needed to get back in, or your passcode, which is just the normal passcode you use to open the phone. So as long as you have one of those two things, you'll be able to get at your stuff. But Apple can't help you if you get into trouble. If you don't use this advanced data protection, that means Apple can still offer you recovery options and help you get your access back to your stuff in the event of disaster. So for most people, I'd say no. You don't want to do this unless you really feel you're in some sort of pressing need to do it. That's kind of where I'm at with that.
Is it safe to allow access to iCloud data on the web specifically?
Yes, you can. And you still need your credentials. You still need your Apple account ID and passcode or password to get in. So it's not like you're leaving your stuff unlocked. You can go to iCloud.com with a web browser and log in, and then you can get at your contacts, calendar, photos, notes, different things like that, reminders, files, and documents. So a lot of stuff that you might need, if you don't have your devices handy, it might be convenient to go to do that at some point. So, if you don't really need to disable it, it's another one of these things I would tend to recommend leaving on, unless you're under some pressing threat or something like that.
Okay. Great. What are your thoughts on Apple's default information security?
For the most part, Apple makes good default choices for most people. The more secure things are, the less convenient they are, and the more danger that you're going to lock yourself out, if you're not careful, if you go overboard. Like I've known people, I wish I were joking, they didn't let the GPS app that they were using know where they were because they were afraid of Big Brother watching, and therefore it couldn't help them get home. So that's the kind of thing you'd run into if you go overboard with security. You can really get yourself into a tizzy if you worry too much about that. So I would say for most people, use the default things that Apple chose. And you shouldn't be losing sleep over this. Like it's very unlikely, even if Big Brother somehow got your data, that he'd care about what that data was. So you will care if you lock yourself out. You'll be furious if you have unworking apps that you rely on because you spent too much time trying to lock, everyone else out and ended up locking yourself out of your own stuff. So that's kind of where I'm sitting with the security. I think Apple does a really good job of giving us as convenient as possible access to our stuff and still a pretty robust, secure system that they have.
We can certainly make things harder on ourselves unintentionally with situations like that, Mike. Thanks so much, as always. Great stuff, and we'll chat with you next week.
Absolutely. We'll see you then.
Join Mike Fair every week at this time for more tech and audio topics on a Thursday.
Coming up next, Fern Lullum says, fostering respect for your body is an important step in improving your sense of self-worth. On UK Disability Highlights, we explore how social pressure, childhood experiences, and disability all influence our body image. That conversation next.
Stick around and learn something new. Kelly and Ramya return with more in a moment.
Hello, I'm Sean Preece. Join me monthly for Sean of the Shed, where I introduce you to all the technology that can be so useful to us as blind or partially sighted people. Find Sean of the Shed wherever you find all your podcasts.